Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It is a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers coming up about a half an hour from now at 11:30. Hashtag Dork Minute as well at 11:45. Keefe with some updates for you there, plus Mike Vrabel speaking live right around 1 o'clock. You'll catch it here live on WEEI. But from time to time, we like to get into the film room. Give us some real insight on the Patriots, because we dabble in hot takes and storylines, and as you said, Keith, soap operas.
Right.
So we want the real answers, and a good man to get that from is Taylor Kyles, CLNS. He covers the Patriots there. Taylor, welcome back to Jones and Keefe.
Thank you so much for having me again. How are we doing?
Very good.
We're doing great. As we said, we like to dabble in, Christian Gonzalez and his availability, Pop Douglas, Ramondre Stevenson. How do you handle him this week? You did your film study on the game. What jumped out to you in the Patriots' Week 3 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
The thing I kind of recognized was Josh McDaniels was absolutely in his bag. That man called and designed a beautiful game plan. Looking at the film, there were a lot of bigger play opportunities, I thought, that the team didn't necessarily capitalize on, and that was due to, you know, some self-inflicted errors like penalties or some pass protection issues. Sometimes Drake wasn't always exactly on point, which, of course, is to be expected from a young quarterback. But I thought Josh called a really good game. I thought the defense played really well, and they were pretty sound. The tape pretty much matched what we saw live. But, of course, when you turn the ball over five times, that's not going to really help anything. Drake's strip sack came on a play where he just really needed to take a sack or throw the ball away. And then not only did the running backs need to protect the ball better, but also the run blocking needs to improve so those guys have some more space and aren't getting hit, late in those plays.
You know, maybe you hit on it with the run blocking, but I'm curious your take so far three games into Travion Henderson's career, because we're all hoping for a bigger role for him on Sunday, in part because of Ramondre Stevenson's fumbles and Antonio Gibson's fumble. But 11 carries in the game was the most on the team, and he only got 28 yards on those 11 carries. I was really excited about him going into the start of the season. Why do you think he hasn't had some of those game-breaking type plays just yet?
Yeah, I think a game is something he's going to have to adjust to the speed of the NFL game, where we all know Travion Henderson is a very talented ball carrier, but there's times where, like, on screens, I feel like he's not really following his blockers. And when he gets the ball on carries, his pace and the vision aren't always really there. It kind of feels like he's hitting the turbo button as soon as he gets the handoff sometimes, rather than trying to kind of set guys up to create openings like we see Ramondre Stevenson do pretty well. So there's also the pass protection, where we know in Miami he gave up a couple sacks and then had the two holds. Last week he did allow a hit on Drake May. It was a play where I kind of understood the linebacker went to the opposite gap that he started in. But Travion did have a strong rep later in the game where he kind of diagnosed some exotic pressure and was able to stone a blitzer. So there's things to like about Travion's game, but we also have to remember, even though he was a second-round pick, these guys are rookies. The team is relying on a lot of rookies. So these guys are probably going to be inconsistent. You're just hoping that once you get into like October, November, December, there's some level of incremental growth there.
I'm curious what you've seen out of Pop Douglas, who, beyond just the fourth down play at the end of the game where he's got to get that yard. He is playing the fourth most snaps on the team behind Booty, Hollins, and Diggs at wide receiver. It doesn't seem like the chemistry, Keith has been highlighting this, it doesn't seem like the chemistry between Drake May and Pop Douglas. Doesn't seem like they're often on the same page. Maybe some miscommunication between the two. Maybe some issues lining up for Pop Douglas. What have you seen through three games from him?
It's really a mixed bag, to be honest, because it's not like he isn't getting open. I think especially against man coverage, he gets consistent separation. It's just the teams aren't playing a ton of man. I think a lot of that is because they're afraid of what Drake May can do with his legs, and they want to make sure they have eyes on him. But also, I've been disappointed by the fact that Pop isn't always taking advantage of the opportunities he gets. Because I can post my breakdowns on Twitter of, oh, look how often Pop's open. But at the same time, you know, yes, Drake May hit him with the ball thrown behind him during that last drive. That still hit him in the hands, and the expectation in the NFL is you got to catch that. And then, of course, on the fourth down play, I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt at the time, but after looking at it and after hearing comments, like, yeah, you just need to knife through those guys and get the first down. So the awareness wasn't necessarily there. There were some positive plays, like he had a nice catch on a play action that Mike Nwenu's illegal man downfield penalty wiped out. But I am just a bit concerned about, one, the trust in Pop Douglas, because I feel like they really do want Stephon Diggs to be more of that kind of top receiver in their rotation, even though Pop was that during the summer. And also with Drake May being a guy who does kind of, when he does miss, he misses high. I wonder if the fact that Pop is 5'8", which, you know, is the bare minimum really in the NFL, I wonder if that does hurt him as well. So it's not all on DeMario Douglas, but I also think that he has not taken advantage when the ball has come his way consistently.
What do you think of the defense overall? They gave up a bunch of points in the first couple of weeks. They got off to a terrible start, and then they were pretty good there in the middle, but then ultimately that final drive, Pittsburgh was able to go down the field, get the go-ahead touchdown. I thought they were going to be better. I know they're missing their top corner to this point, but what do you put some of the issues defensively on?
I think a lot of it, honestly, is missing Christian Gonzalez, because when you look at some of the touchdowns they've allowed, the explosive receptions, that they've allowed, it's Alex Austin, or it's guys who are maybe in positions that they wouldn't have been in if Christian Gonzalez was there. So I really do think missing their top corner has been a pretty significant part of why the pass game has struggled. The pass rush, it's kind of funny, because when you look at a lot of statistics, they aren't very good in pass rushing. They're kind of like middle of the pack. But they've also faced, in back-to-back weeks, players who get the ball out of their hands exceedingly quickly, like in under 2.5 seconds. So one thing about the pass rush is when they do get their opportunities, they take advantage of them. We've seen that with Harold Landry, Milton Williams. Christian Barmore feels like he's starting to kind of feel it a little bit more. And Caleb on Chaisson also has been making plays against run and pass. So the money they put into the defensive line, I think, is showing. They've also been excellent against the run, which was a concern I had coming in. And yes, I understand the tackling numbers don't look great, but one, Robert Spillane, who had the one performance that really worried me in Miami, he was a tackling machine and looked way better in the next week, so maybe that was just a blip on the radar for him. And although the Patriots' missed tackle rate is high, they swarm to the football very well. So sometimes it's just guys flying in, and they may get shed, but there's usually somebody coming in to wrap it up, so they don't get a ton of yards other teams, even when players are missing tackles. Now, when it's Christian Ellis missing a running back in the hole, that's a different story. But honestly, for the most part, I feel like Christian Gonzalez coming back will fix a lot of the issues that we've seen with this defense.
Do you think he is back this week?
I do. I do think he's back. I think last week he practiced. Maybe they just didn't feel great about using him for a full game, which is understandable because he hasn't really played in any competitive action. But I think that this is probably the week for him, especially against Tet McMillan. I respect the player, but he doesn't really have the juice to threaten Gonzo, so I feel like that should be a relatively easy matchup for him.
Taylor Kyles, CLNS, you can check out his work there, covers the Patriots. You can get his full film breakdowns, as he said, at tkyles39 on Twitter. Sticking with Gonzalez for a moment, you do expect him to play. What do you think the push and pull has been there? Was there a setback? Has the team been wanting him out on the field? Was he pushing himself too much to get out on the field? You guys had an opportunity to speak with him last week. He didn't really give any clarity on the answers. So what do you think is going on with Gonzalez?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think it's a situation where hamstrings, they keep saying it, hamstrings are tricky, and that may not be the answer that a lot of people want, but it's true. I don't know whether or not for a fact the team was trying to rush him back or anything. Based on their comments, it sounds like they tried to be patient with him, and I do believe he probably could have played last week, but maybe, I don't know, maybe it was in a smaller role or something like that. But, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I try not to get too much into what exactly happened, but the fact that he is coming back, like some people wanted him on injured reserve, which would have wiped him out for 4 weeks, he's going to be back for week four. So given the fact that he didn't practice for the entire summer, I feel like this was one of the better case scenarios that at least he's coming back before maybe a little like a week or so later than they would have expected. But still within September, I'd say that's a positive.
How do you think the offensive line has fared through 3 weeks now, specifically Will Campbell, who seems like he's held his own? We haven't really talked a lot about him, which overall I would say is a positive sign.
Yeah, so, I mean, the offensive line hasn't been perfect. You have, obviously, the two rookies on the left side. It's not going to be perfect at all this season. But I will say, like, Nick Herbig is a very good pass rusher, one of the more underrated guys in the league. And I think the toughest matchup that Will Campbell faced, and you did see him, like, messing with his punch timing. So sometimes he kind of flashed like he was going to punch and take it back to try to throw off Herbig's timing, which is the kind of thing for a player with shorter arms you have to do in the NFL to compensate and try to gain an advantage. Didn't always work, but I liked seeing him work on it. Did give up some pressures to Herbig, especially in some obvious passing situations, especially late in the game on that last drive. But there's plenty of things every week to like about Will Campbell. Like, even there was one block where Vrabel seemed mad at him because he didn't really block anybody, but there were two other plays like it where he wound up blocking multiple defenders. So that's a positive. Jared Wilson has been very impressive in pass protection. Inconsistent as a run blocker, but I thought for the most part he held his own against Cam Hayward, who's got grown man strength. Garrett Bradbury has kind of been the opposite of what I expected. He's been inconsistent as a run blocker, which is where he's usually excelled, but he's been pretty fantastic in pass protection, and I didn't know that he could hold up at all. So I'd say that was a nice revelation so far this season, even if he wound up on the ground a couple times last week. Morgan Moses, I really liked what I've seen from him. In that first game, he handled Max Crosby better than I expected. He's had some struggles against speed, and we saw that against Jalen Phillips and T.J. Watt. But to be fair, we knew that this summer. He is 34. The guy's not perfect. It just is going to be up to Josh McDaniels and Drake May to try to mitigate that as much as they can. But he's been the best part of the run game by far, Morgan Moses. So I'd say he's been an absolute plus for them. The one guy who's disappointed me pretty significantly is Mike Nwenu. And not just for the penalty, but also he's missing a lot of run blocks, especially on downhill concepts where he really has excelled in the past. Just some of his combos aren't as effective as you'd like to see. When he's one-on-one, sometimes he falls off. And he's been pretty good in pass protection, I will say, but he's gotten walked back sometimes, albeit by some good pass rushers. So I got to say, Mike Nwenu was not living up to his contract right now, and it is a big one. Not a bad player, but definitely, you know, not someone who's playing like one of the higher paid guards in the NFL, especially in the run game. But overall for this offensive line, again, a unit with a ton of turnover. They're going to be trying to build more chemistry each week. That's how the offensive line works. But each week I do come away with some reasons for optimism, especially in pass pro. But the run game has really got to be more consistent, and I think that's just going to come with time.
Okay, so probably no changes personnel-wise on the O-line. You mentioned Gonzalez. Your expectation is he plays on Sunday against Carolina, if you had to guess. If you were going to guess about other personnel changes, and that might involve Stevenson, benched, inactive, Pop Douglas, same, maybe even some of the personnel changes we saw on defense, less Christian Ellis, more Jack Gibbons, less Alex Austin, more Charles Woods. Like, beyond Gonzalez, what sort of personnel changes or alterations would you expect this weekend?
I'd say a linebacker after you had to pull Christian Ellis so early. I would expect to see a rotation of Jack Gibbons across from Spillane on some run situations, and then maybe Marte Mapu in some of their lighter sub-packages. You know, I had reasonable expectations for Christian Ellis. I thought he was going to improve. in a better scheme with better coaching, but it's just the tackling has not been nearly good enough, and he has been a liability in that vein. I think the corner room, if Donzo's back sticks to him, Carlton Davis and Marcus Jones, I don't think you want to make many alterations because their depth right now is very shoddy. I know that it was reported they looked to trade for Jarvis Brownlee from the Titans. The Jets wound up getting him, but that kind of felt like an indication that they are not very happy with their cornerback depth. And then offensively, I don't want to make any, you know, too many crazy declarations because DeMario Douglas's big mistake really was that one play. But I do wonder if he doesn't start producing if we do see Efton Chisholm at some point. Todd Downing spoke very highly of him a week or two ago, saying he's learning all the different positions in the offense so that, kind of like Mac Hollins, he can plug in wherever and be useful. And as someone whose skill set is a bit redundant, if he can line up in different spots, that helps his ability to be active on game days, especially if DeMario Douglas isn't producing the way they want. So I don't want to put any crazy expectations on Chisholm because he is still a rookie, an undrafted rookie, hasn't gotten a ton of opportunities with Drake May. But as we get deeper into the season and we do start seeing personnel changes, I just have a feeling that at some point we're going to see him.
What about Ramondre?
Yeah, so Ramondre's tricky because Antonio Gibson fumbled too. So you can't have – and Travion Henderson is a very talented player, but at 5'10", like 203, he's just not built to be your bell cow guy. And I don't think that he, like I said earlier, really is in a spot to be that either. So I do think we see Ramondre. I think maybe there will be more Antonio Gibson. And to be fair, Gibson has made the most of his carries. He's been very explosive when he's gotten opportunities. But I don't know how many changes you can make when both of your veteran running backs fumbled and you've got a rookie who's very much coming along. So I wouldn't expect any sweeping changes outside of maybe more opportunities for Antonio Gibson. Maybe Travion Henderson starts, you know, on the opening drive and is the guy, but I just can't see them relying on Henderson in a much more significant capacity.
I don't know how much you've looked at Carolina yet, but their game last week was insane. They got outgained by over 100 yards. They still beat Atlanta 30-0 because of some, you know, defensive scores and things. But this is one where another home game for the Patriots, gotta have to have this one, or things are or could get pretty ugly with a 1-3 start with then Buffalo looming in Week 5.
Yeah, so what I've seen from the Panthers so far, this is should be a very winnable game for the Patriots. They just got to hold on to the football because this cornerback group for the Panthers is very competitive. Yes, you know, the interceptions look bad, but they were plays that showed good recognition from those guys. Also, rookie Ransom Latham, I believe, forced a fumble. So ball protection is going to be huge this week. Derrick Brown is kind of in the same vein of a Cam Hayward where he's got grown man strength. He batted a couple passes against Arizona, which has been an issue for Drake May so far. And he's just a big body, so he's going to be a challenge in the middle. And then the Panthers' offense, the only guy that really scares me is Tet McMillan. They've got some injuries and just generally, you know, not the most talented offense, kind of similar to the Patriots. But I think at wide receiver, they're really strapped for talent outside of Tet. So if you get Donzo back in the mix, there really shouldn't be much reason that the defense doesn't have another dominant performance.
All right, last one for me. We spent a lot of time on the show yesterday talking about breakfast cereals, and we did an entire tier of like 30-something cereals. So Taylor Kyles, the best cereal is what?
Oh, I'm a Fruity Pebbles guy. I feel like that's not exciting enough, but
that's a good one.
It brings me back to my childhood. I feel like I'm back in the cafeteria, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, St. Paul's school.
Oh, that's the
Taylor and I are both very smart St. Paul's alums.
Is that something you get that at
you get whatever you want there. They had a great dining hall. Yeah, it's fantastic food.
Fruity Pebbles checked in on the Frisky tier.
Dining hall. It was crazy.
Nice. Yeah. Fruity Pebbles checked in on the Frisky tier if you were curious.
I liked
there.
It more than you did.
The key
is you have to eat it fast because it turns into like some sort of mystery kind of thing at the end.
I like that you didn't give
I'm
us
weird. I kind of did that. I kind of dig when it turns into the mush. I'm weird like that.
Interesting. Wow.
Well, I might have to dive into that a little bit more. I'm happy you didn't answer Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's what
that's
I think
our
goat. I think that's the right answer, but that's what pretty much everyone answers. So you give us a little something different.
Very good.
Which is why we like talking to Taylor Kyles. Check out his work at CLNS. Follow him on Twitter at TKyles39. Taylor, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Taylor Kyles, joining us here from time to time, giving us some insight on the Pats, what happened last week, what should happen this week.
Yeah.
Against the Carolina Panthers.
St. Paul's school, by the way, smacked around Belmont Hill last weekend.
Ooh,
21-6.
Nice.
Yep.
So he called it the Hogwarts Dining Hall.
Yeah.
What is,
well, it's not Hogwarts, but
I was
going to
say,
yeah,
not,
there is. It kind of there.
That
there
wasn't
are
where
aspects,
that wasn't where it was actually set. I'm
there
right
are Hogwarts. There okay. is part. There is parts.
Okay.
Yeah, you could see.
I don't
you
know
see
enough,
the parallel.
I don't know enough about these schools. Keith.
There weren't. It wasn't all as witches and wizards at St. Paul's, but
as,
there were some.
As a product of Vermont state schools,
yeah,
you know, public schools rather. I don't know what goes on at some of these other schools.
You
don't
want to know.
Okay.
You don't want to know. Yeah, it's the Wild West,
Charlie Sheen style stuff.
Sure.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.